Hey everybody, Shane Pressler here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Come on down this Friday, they have an all-new music happy hour going on, new records in from the Lumineers, Deftones, and a bunch of other stuff, 10% off any purchase, free four hands beer for those of age, and they get new vinyl in every Friday, so and they have plenty of used and used vinyl, used tapes and CDs as well. The next live in-store performance on Saturday will be April 9th with the By Gods from Nashville, so come down and check that out. And then April 16th is Record Store Day. Doors open at 7 a.m. First, I think it's 25 people through the door get a exclusive bag full of goodies. And then all kinds of cool exclusives for Record Store Day. So come out, check that out. Find more information about all this stuff on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Greetings, Earthlings. And welcome to Rock Paper Podcast. Today we will be discussing spaceships.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, I wanted to tell you real quick, April 16th is Record Store Day. Over at Music Record Shop, they're starting at 7 a.m. First 25 people through the door get a gift bag full of all kinds of stuff. And you can see friends of the show, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals over there in store. Also, 18 and Counting, Old Souls Revival, and Adult Fur. All be live in stores that day. And then I haven't made the announcement on here yet, but June 24th, Broadway Oyster Bar. It'll be the second annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday party with Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Sky Burnt White, and a third band to be announced. So I will let you know as soon as I can with that one. So come out June 24th and hang out with us at Broadway Oyster Bar. But yeah, today I'm hanging out, episode 200, hanging out with the guys of Spaceship.
The big 200.
Yeah, welcome to the show, guys.
What's going on?
Thanks, man.
This, 200, pretty big deal, guys.
Yeah, that's a big
very,
show.
Very exciting. I've been hustling, man. Like, I've been, I started the show, if you guys don't know, I started the show with my buddy Chris about May will be 2 years we've been doing it. And we did the show together, about 60 episodes or so, for about the first year. Chris parted ways, and he's got two young babies at home, and just it was becoming a lot for him to keep up with. And so I've been going on my own after that, and I started doing these like 3 episodes a week since like last June, and so I've been really cranking out a lot of content, and so yeah, up to 200 now. It's a pretty big milestone for me. I'm excited to do it. I've do it this long, stick with it and stuff, and but I'm excited to hang out here with you guys and get to talk Spaceship, see what you guys are all about.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, well, I guess start off, go around the room, everybody say hey.
Hello, hello.
You want to introduce yourself and what you guys do with the band?
All right, well, we really like to think of ourselves as like this one unit.
Yeah.
I guess, the Borg from Star Trek.
Yeah,
exactly. We're all the...
A collective.
Collective Joey Jordis personnel.
Yeah.
You know, because we've been doing the shades lately, you know. It's been,
yeah, I saw some pictures with the shades.
Inspired by the Joey Jordis stuff, I guess. I think that's the character's name, isn't it?
I don't know.
On the show.
It could be.
Beats me.
But yeah. But anyways, my name's Ryan Bethel, and yeah, I play keyboards. And,
Stephen Hakey here. I play the drums.
Jacob Zingerling. I'm the bass player.
All right. And we got a couple guys couldn't make it this evening.
Yeah, we also have 2 horn players. Eniesian plays tenor saxophone with us. And then we got a new trumpet player. We've actually played with a few different trumpet players. But we recently just played a show with Kyle Allen. Who's a great trumpet player, and we're happy to play with him.
Very cool, yeah.
But we've had a few trumpet players since.
Yeah. I think it's... Talk to any band around town, it's hard to keep a lineup together sometimes. I mean, you're lucky enough to keep a core group, but I mean, even a band that plays together for very long, like, it's just hard to keep a solid lineup together sometimes, because you're going to run into guys that are, you know, getting married or having kids or whatever, or just, you know, conflict of interest or whatever. Some people want to hit the road. Some people want to do this. So it's just, it's hard to keep 4 or 5 guys or whatever that have like-minded, that, you know, all want to have the same goals and ideas. And so, I mean, sometimes you got to shuffle some guys around to find that, you know, solid 5 that you want or whatever it is. And so it's sad to see a lot of these, you know, a lot of bands that just break up because of it or whatever. They, you know, disband and start a new project and stuff. So,
It's hard to be consistent like that sometimes. And, you know, we've had a couple
incarnations, so to speak, of this band, and I think we're kind of at a point now where we're pretty happy with the lineup we have, and you know, we hope we can really build some momentum here going into this summer, and then hopefully next year, you know, it'll really start picking up for us. But you know, yeah, we've got two horn players now that are really great players, and you know, we had a couple other trumpet players, and then we added a saxophone player, so you know, we're playing harmonies and stuff, you know, things like that with the horn. So we're at a pretty good place right now, and you know, hoping we can gain some ground.
Yeah. So how long have you guys been a project now? How this has it been?
Like a little over 2 years now.
Yeah, about 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And then we were kind of talking a bit off mic, but we're kind of going over the dates. But you guys got a busy couple of months coming up, and everything else, some neat up, some festivals and all kinds of things. So it sounds like a lot of things are coming your way here. So it's cool to see that you guys are getting to that point. You know,
yeah, very blessed for the opportunities that we're getting.
Yeah, well, you want to throw some dates out there?
Well, let's see here. We got, what's that, April 15th up at America's Tavern off the Grove. We're going to be playing with Brother Francis and the Soul Tones, good buddy band of ours. And I think that goes on at 9 o'clock. Pretty sure it's free.
Yeah.
But I can't quote myself on that. We're still going to get the details crazily.
It seems like a lot of the shows they do it off are...
America's
Tavern are free.
Like, that's I don't know, from my recollection too. So I'm pretty sure that one will be free. And then April 16th will be our debut at the Dark Room. So that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a Saturday night. Definitely come on out to that. It's a really nice jazz spot wine bar, but they have nice cheeses and stuff too.
Yeah, they got some charcuterie up in there, and you know, it's located right there in Grand Center. You know,
right by Fox.
Right next to the Fox, right across from Powell Hall, and just down the street from the Bistro. So,
yeah,
you know, that should be a good time. That's 7:30 to 9:30, and also free.
Yeah, free is good.
Yeah,
free is always good.
what do you guys say? You got some festival?
Yeah. On May 21st, so it's May 20th through the 22nd, I believe, is Wampus Festival in the Grove. It's kind of a festival supporting the fight against heroin, so it's all for a good cause. It's a nice charity festival. And we'll be playing on the 21st, which will be a Saturday, from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m., and that'll be outside of Cyan. They kind of like section off part of the Grove, so I think it's like the Atomic Cowboy and the Bootleg and then Cyan, and possibly the Handlebar too. I'm not too sure if they're going to be involved with it, but there'll be live music set up all over the place.
Yeah. I was down there, actually, I plugged Music Record Shop, and they did a Grove Fest down there a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We actually played it, though. 2 years ago, we played at Grove Fest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Music Record Shop allowed me to do a live in-store. I booked a couple bands to come play there just on a Saturday, and we didn't sync up our calendars and realize that it was Grove Fest that weekend, so it turned out to be a great weekend to have a live in-store because there were so many people down there. But it was cool the way they had the stage set up, like in the street right down in the Grove, and that was so that was really neat to... So are they doing something like this? Is it going to be a stage in the street, or is it like just...
I think they might still have people like being able to drive through, but there's going to be stages outside of Siam, and then there's the big outdoor stage at right behind the Atomic Cowboy. Yeah. They'll be running through that, and then this indoor stage at the Bootleg, and another indoor stage in Siam. I don't think they're going to have one like blocking the whole street, though. Like
All the venues there?
Yeah, so go hopping that night.
Very cool. Yeah,
that'd be fun. Get a very good wide array of music. And it's for a great cause, too. It's just a charity to fight against the heroin.
For sure. Yeah, I had Monk on a while back. You guys know him at all?
I know Thelonious Monk.
I don't know about that one.
I don't know.
Monk's out of Belleville area. He goes over there. But he does a lot of stuff with an organization called Hero Inside, and again, it's another, you know, to fight against heroin abuse and all this stuff. So, yeah, we had a nice long conversation about his work with that organization and stuff a while back. But
cool.
It's cool that you guys are doing that, like to help helping that out. So
very excited for it.
Yeah. So we talked to you guys about 2 years as a group here. How's the group come together? You guys, how far back do you guys go? You guys known each other for quite a while.
Yeah, we've all pretty much met through music school, basically.
Yeah, we all basically met at Merrimack Community College. I don't know if I really ran into Jake there, but I know I ran into Ryan there. We were in one of the jazz improv classes.
Yeah, that's right.
Not actually in the exact same combo, but in the same class. Mm-hmm. And I guess we didn't really see each other for a couple of years or so, and I remember I ran into Ryan at the Route 66 Roadhouse in Webster Groves one day, and we had talked about jamming or something, and then, we started jamming, and I guess, the three of us here, the rhythm section, are pretty much like the core of the band, including our original trumpet player, and, we started writing some tunes, and, kind of jamming, obviously we have kind of like a jazz funk sort of approach. We like to improvise, but we also definitely have some structured arrangements. We like to get out there and do some crazy metric stuff and some interesting harmonic stuff, and so
mm-hmm. I was listening to you guys gave me the CD now that I'm here, but I listened to a couple of the songs that are up on the Reverb Nation page.
Okay, yeah, that was probably from Telewarp, the Telewarp album.
Yeah, but I was listening. I mean, it was good stuff. I mean, I'm not big on jazz. Like, I just never really been introduced to it much. I don't know where to start. Like, that's kind of the thing. Like, a lot of people have talked to me about it and stuff, but I grew up, my parents played a lot of classic rock records, all,
sure,
Skinner and ZZ Top and Allman Brothers and all this stuff, and a lot of that southern rock like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's
on rock radio, man.
Yeah. So I grew up on a lot of that stuff, so it's just, we never had a lot of jazz records in the house. And,
yeah. No, it's okay. I mean, so, I didn't either. I grew up listening to, like, my mom's old, like, Queen and Boston and Garth Brooks records, and I never really played jazz until I was like in my mid-20s really, but I always had kind of a jazz type mentality and always a kind of a natural inclination and feel for it, so it was always inside of me, but it just kind of took that kind of formal practice, I guess, to bring it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you guys started this group, though, is it like, I mean, was that a conscious effort, like, to keep it instrumental, or was just nobody, you guys didn't ever seek out a singer, or was that always wanted to be instrumental, or?
Yeah, it started out pretty much instrumental. We used to just take jazz standards and kind of redo them our own way. That's kind of how we all got together. We were hanging out at my house after Ryan and Steve started meeting up with each other at the jazz jam. We'd all come back together and just start playing music all the time. It'd always just be like, hey, let's play some standards from the real book. Yeah. And it was one of our first shows. It was me, Ryan, and Steve up at the Blue Note down in Columbia. And that's where we started out doing jazz standards, but just put, like, our own, like, funky swing on it.
Yeah. Wow. Also, the Engine Room was one of our first gigs, too.
Oh, yeah.
Ferraro's.
With AJ, yeah.
Ferraro's Pizza, yeah.
That was the first one.
That was our very first gig.
That wasn't even under the name of Spaceship.
Oh yeah, that was Dudermang.
That was the Dudermang Trio, which was actually a quartet.
Yeah,
but you called it the Dudermang Trio. Yeah. And then they just had AJ come, so it was actually a quartet.
Yeah, it was a quartet, but yeah.
And we brought the Fender Rhodes there. We got free pizza and jammed with what's his name,
Dave Certain.
Yeah, Dave Certain.
Yeah, he was a killer bass player.
Yeah.
But
he makes really great basses too. I just saw him at the Tritone Expo. That just went on this weekend. Yeah. Some really cool basses up there.
Did you get to pet the bass?
Oh, I played them all.
I thought there was an instrument petting zoo.
Yeah, there was. Oh, man, that was so cool. It was like heaven up there in the Triton
Expo. Like, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, so cute.
It's beautiful.
I was talking to Old Salt Union the other night. And about when they were going through, you know, picking a name for the group. And he, I think it was Justin, was saying that they had like a group text or something going. And one of the original ideas was going to be like the Old Salt Trio or something like that. And they're like, well, it was a good thing we didn't go with trio because there's five guys in the band now. And like, that would have been a little awkward. Like, but it's funny that you're saying that the band name was Trio, but you guys should have four players. And
right.
So I don't know. It's just funny. But when how's Spaceship come about? How's that name come out?
Well, it kind of stemmed from that Blue Note show that we were talking about, which was the second show that we did together with this core group here. And we were doing these jazz tunes that we selected, but we kind of redid them. I was playing some of the melodies on a synthesizer, so it's kind of like futuristic.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking we should just call a spaceship.
Did you like have the lights in the old like?
Yeah, and then I had these like lights. I brought this Fender Rhodes piano there, and then I hung these like Chili Pepper style lights or something. But it was just, it had like this kind of like glow to it that was sort of surreal, I guess. Yeah. Especially like we took this like footage of it, and the footage that we took, it was on a Zoom camera, kind of like had this glow to it because there was these like deep blue lights at the stage, like I'm a people were using, and then we had these like red lights on the stage, and it had this very interesting glow, and we were playing this kind of spacey music. So yeah, that sort of inspired by that show, sort of, even though the name didn't come from that show, but it kind of all clicked after that show, so we just kept the name.
Well, the name was the studio that we used to play in at the Walsh
and
House.
And that's actually
the spaceship.
Yeah, it goes back even farther, I guess.
Because we used to always jam. We had this old studio, had a whole bunch of lights in it. So it'd be like when you're walking up the steps and you can see the studio room, you just see all these like red and green and blue lights just flashing. It looked like you're about to go into a spaceship.
Yeah.
So that's where we'd have a lot of practices and did a lot of recording in there, and it kind of just branched off after that. You know, we did the Blue Note show, and we're like, oh, think about getting a name, and then it was just, you know, we were jamming in the spaceship. It was futuristic, like a spaceship, and it just seemed, you know, catchy.
For
spaceship.
Sure. Yeah. Is that where you guys met Driving Wheel? Is that Blue Note show, or?
Oh, yeah, it was at that Blue Note show that we're talking about. And that's actually a really good friend of mine. I'll give a shout-out to Jeremy.
Yeah, he
Driving Wheel, because that guy is a long-time homie.
Yeah, he commented on the put your guys' picture up on, do a little promoting and stuff, and he commented on there and saying that you guys go way back and wanted to say hey. So, but yeah, Jeremy and Driving Wheel are good buddies of the show. I've been watching those guys for a bunch of years, and had a lot of fun. Man, they're good dudes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. It's fun that, I mean, I know it's Columbia and it's, you know, a little while away, but it's nice that, you know, we are close enough to where there's a lot of crossover in our music scenes and stuff. You know, a lot of St. Louis goes to Columbia, a lot of Columbia comes to St. Louis, so we all kind of still know each other and stuff. It's close enough, and
yeah.
So it's it's neat to see that you know, that it's almost like an extended music scene up there.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely should be noted, too, that we tried to get a gig in an Indian restaurant on the way out.
We did. Actually, we went and talked to this guy, and he was down with it,
yeah,
too.
We couldn't really nail down a date, but we were going to maybe do, like, a jazz trio or something like that. But it didn't really happen. But, you know, they were cool, though, at least. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Columbia's a cool place.
I have a... that's one... So along with doing the show and like while I'm down here in the city and stuff and doing these different things, I like to try to, you know, try different things, try different foods and all this stuff. It's all part of it. You know, I like seeing different parts of the city and exploring all that St. Louis has to offer. But it's one thing I still haven't is gotten into an Indian restaurant and tried any Indian food. So I need to go do that. I went to sushi for the first time not too long ago. And,
oh, nice. Where'd you go?
Well, I went to, I guess the... Didn't want it. I went a Drunken Fish one time. And
Sub-Zero is really good, too. That's right across the street in the Central West End. I was going to say, as long as you didn't go to Deerberg's for your first sushi experience, you're all good.
Where was the next?
Yeah.
I forget where the other one was, but...
Shrek's pretty good, actually.
But yeah, one of these days I'll get to... mostly I'd like to try pizza. So if I find a good pizza place or...
Oh, there's
or
too many of them.
Yeah, if I'll try it.
There's too many
to
count.
I like to... one of my personal life goals is to try, like... every pizza place, so I know which one's the best and stuff.
Have you been to Master of Pizza on Cherokee yet?
I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, you should start there.
Yeah,
that's a good
definitely.
I like Chicago Deep Dish. So I've been up there a bunch of times, and I try a different spot every time.
If you like Deep Dish, have you been to Blackthorn?
I haven't been to Blackthorn.
You should definitely go there. If you like Deep Dish, go to Blackthorn. Yeah. I think they got the best deep dish in St. Louis. All right. Yeah.
Go check.
Yeah, they're right there in like the Grand. They're right behind off of Wyoming, kind of behind Lulu's, a block down from there. So it's like Wyoming and Spring, I think.
Mm. Yeah, see, I live out in Wentzville area, so it's hard for me to, unless somebody says something about them. I really don't know a lot about a lot of these smaller family restaurant, spots or whatever it is, So I try to, but usually take somebody's suggestion, something like that, and I'm like, all right, put it on the list and
definitely
try it. So.
Yeah, there used to be an old music venue called Lemons, which is right off of Gravoy, and Blackthorn would supply the pizza there, and everybody used to be like, they used to love playing it. Like, oh, you get a free pizza, and it's great. And
I didn't know
nobody
it was
ever
Blackthorn.
Knew it was Blackthorn. Yeah, they would like make the pizza or give them the ingredients or something.
Because
that was kind of fire. Like,
every time we played there, we get a couple of free drinks and some, deep dish.
Yeah, I miss that place. It's a shame they shut down. Still had the whole building up and everything, though, too.
The spaceship didn't play there, though.
No. Mm. Yeah. We got a lot of gigs coming up this summer, though.
Yeah.
Sure. I hope there's some good sushi at these festivals.
Yeah.
Actually, the show at Siam.
That
was one of our first ones, too.
At the Wampus Festival... Apparently, are we playing in a stage that's right by Siam?
Yeah, we're playing, so Siam has that little side courtyard outside there on the side of the building. I don't know if you remember that.
Is that where the stage is?
Oh, yeah. That's the outside courtyard. Yeah, we actually played a gig at Siam.
It's really cool
little
area.
And they have great sushi at Siam.
There you go.
They do, So, you can probably get sushi at this, at this festival, Siam will be serving their sushi.
I mean, Wampus kind of sounds like some kind of Japanese fish.
Yeah, you're right.
Have the Wampus roll.
Yeah, the Wampus roll.
The wasabi. Yeah.
We should talk to them about that.
Wasabi on your Wampus.
Wampus roll. Sounds like a really good idea.
So you guys, what's the second album,
Second album?
Yep,
second album.
Yeah, we're just about to come out with it. We just finished tracking the saxophone on the album last week. About a year and a half or so of the band, we didn't have a saxophone player. We just had a trumpet player. And so we just recently added a saxophonist, and so we decided to track it on this album that we recorded at Sherpa Studios almost about a year ago, but then we did like a full band recording in studio, and now we've gone back a couple times to retrack like more horns on top of it, more trumpets, and like adding like other things on top of the main band mix. I'm not like synthesizer and like layers and sounds, and we just recently added the saxophone. That was the final thing that it needed before it was done.
Yeah. So, when should we expect that out?
You know what? It's It hasn't been formally decided yet, but I'm thinking, I mean, it's, we're looking at releasing it sometime in the summer.
Cool, yeah. That'd be nice. And then,
probably at one of these shows coming up.
Yeah.
We'll just make it a CD release show.
Sure.
Or we might book one, and specifically with the idea of a CD release show in mind.
Right.
Which is what we did with the first album. We released it at the Ocean Art Gallery, which is off of Jefferson in South City.
Yeah.
Which is owned by Brian Peasy, who's a really cool guy and really great artist. And we booked a show there with the People's Key, which is another local group. Great jazz artists. And they were releasing... an album as well, and so we kind of did this dual thing at the Ocean Art Gallery, and like we set it up to where it was sponsored by a few different local companies, namely Sump Coffee actually sponsored it, who is a great local coffee roaster here in South St. Louis, and they donated some coffee, so we were actually able to get a barista there. We had Frank Laddish actually as our barista, local talent, really.
Yeah.
And so we had him baristing some coffee at the CD release show, and we also had Conscious Teas sponsor as well, and came and. Brought tea there, and like we were giving out free tea and free coffee for the admission price, which you also got two free CDs, both of the CDs along with the admission price. And then we had an art exhibit up, two local artists as well in the gallery, so people could go through the gallery and look at the artwork, as well as, you know, I'm gonna just be there for the show and enjoy their coffee and their tea and their wine and you know, other
that sounds cool, man.
Yeah, and so like we catered it specifically for, you know, for this event. So we might just sneak in this new album and come out completely differently. Who knows? We might release it at Wampus Music Festival. More to be released.
Sure. What did you guys say something about some live art going on or something at a show?
Yes, yes, we have our artistic director, James Payne Gecko the Mad Scientist. He's definitely, come check out the Wampus Festival. He's going to be doing live painting with us while we play. He's going to have a blank canvas, and he's, by the time we're done playing, there'll be something painted.
You know? Yeah.
We already did one show kind of in that vein, where we actually did a video game show party at the Gramophone, where... it was us and the People's Key, and we actually had a video game tournament that was taking place there, where people would actually play video games like Mario Kart and things like that, and there was a big projector screen set up behind the stage, and they had a tournament going on while we were playing the music. We actually played theme songs from some of those
video games. We had a stage where it would be like 3, 2, 1, and that would be like the click-off into the
song.
We'd
start playing the tune, yeah.
Which was a part of like the level that we were on. Yeah. You know, so we would do that. You know, we would do the theme song. It'd be like 3, 2, 1. You know, and we would go into whatever the level was. And we only did that for like 5 of the first contestants to play, and then we just kind of started just jamming
into it.
Because we were doing Super Smash Brothers, and that again was with the People's Key, and they were playing to Mario Kart, and they would play music like kind of tailored to the whole thing like that. We took the songs that were actually in the Super Smash Brothers levels, and we redid them spaceship style. So, like, at practice, we would sit there with, like, the N64 on, like, 2-minute matches. we got to match up the song. Because when it gets down to, like, the 10-second mark, the music always gets more intense, so we kept, like, timing it to get to the 10-second mark, and then we'd be like, oh, yeah, so we got to get it more intense then. That was a lot of fun, too.
We would have the computers... battle each other. We would like pit the computers, because you can do that in Super Smash Brothers, you can have just all computers fighting each other.
Yeah.
And then we would like simulate people playing that way and we would jam.
Yeah. And Gecko was doing live art at that.
Yeah,
and
he was. Yeah.
I was wearing pink gorilla pants with like a blue vest and like a turban. I looked like Aladdin, but like gorilla style. And, you know, like we had a like super like mega jam at the end where like both bands were on stage, like everybody from both bands, and like
Live Arcade Super Jam.
Yeah,
that was the name of that event.
Yeah, we totally went off, like closed out with like Higher Ground, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Which we actually had a local singer MC that.
Yeah.
Dominique Thomas, Dom Tom was our MC there, and then he came up for the Super Jam too. And we actually had
He was local, the host. Yeah.
We had Dom hosting it, and then we had local DJ Mastermind open up, and then he came up and freestyled in the Super Jam, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of cool people involved. We actually had other sponsors for that as well.
Yeah.
We had a Slackers sponsor that. We had Happy Badger Studio sponsor that, which is a local game developer for,
Yeah, they did the Strange Donuts game.
Strange Donuts, you can, like, download it on your phone or on your iPad.
Was it Strange Donuts and...
like retro-style games.
Crusher or something. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, but they sponsored it, so we gave out, like, free... like giveaway stuff from them. We gave out it was also sponsored by Red Bull, so we had like free Red Bull there too.
Yeah.
I think Forehand sponsored it too.
And then Forehand's local brewery sponsored it. Because that was the night that they came out with a new beer. What did they come out with that night?
I don't remember.
The Contact High.
Was that it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They came out with the Contact High, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe, you know, it was one of their newer ones, but we had them sponsor it too, and
very cool.
So yeah, we had some cool people involved.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of a party.
The Live Arcade Super Jam.
When they
to be announced. Like we'll probably do it again, you know, in the future.
Yeah. That live art, I think, is really cool. I think it's a neat way to blend the live art and the music and everything, and just bring it all, because it's all connected. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think, you look at some of your favorite albums and all the artwork that goes onto those albums and everything else, like, and it's just cool to bring it into a live setting as well.
Yeah.
I have my friends, actually I got to host their party a little while back, Skyburnt White, and they did an album release show, and two of our friends are tattoo artists out in Troy, Missouri, at the Ink Spot out there, and they drew up this like 8 foot by 5 foot or some canvas, and an original piece, and they painted it all while the show was going on, and so it was really neat to see, like, you know, an hour and a half set that they played or something, and then like in the night, like it's complete, you know, it's all painted, and it was all a piece of work, and have this one-of-a-kind original artwork and stuff now.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, it's just... I think it's really cool. I love to see that more people are doing stuff like that and or know other original ways to get, you know, other people involved and stuff. So, yeah, it's neat.
It's a really, really cool visual aspect. I mean, definitely, since we're primarily an instrumental group, we always got to try and focus on somewhat of a stage presence, you know? We incorporated those glasses and occasionally lasers, and, you know, as time goes on, we'll be thinking of more ideas to bring different stage props, so definitely try and make it the best to make everything, you know, a show, a complete visual aspect to it, too.
You guys ever play with Hands and Feet?
No.
Can't say we have. He's been on the show a while back. He's with Farfetch Collective, and he's more of a loop artist stuff. I mean, he does a lot of, you know, does guitar keys. He's got, you know, drum samples and stuff, whatever. Anyway, but he creates all live loops and makes his songs and is he's fantastic. But again, he's one guy doing a lot of instrumentals stuff. He does a little bit of vocal effect with different stuff with, but he has a this girl, and you know, goes to all the shows with him, and she's the visual aspect of it. So nice. She makes all these cool videos. So they puts like a screen behind him, and they like shoot the video over him and stuff, and creates the visual for the show.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So again, it's, you know, you got to learn how to come up with cool ways to keep it interesting. So
definitely, yeah, we'll definitely be one to experiment with that too. If I had it my way and had a lot of money, I would want like a 3D like intergalactic battle going on in between us, like while we're playing.
Yeah,
but that costs a lot of money to do.
Sure.
That's always ideal, you know.
But yeah, in the future, one day it will happen.
We usually bring laser lights and stuff, you know. Maybe we might start incorporating fog machines pretty soon. But definitely the inspiration that an artist gets from having the live music there, they can't help but drawing, you know, some influence in what they're doing as far as the art goes from that music. So it's cool to, you know, see how that interplays, you know, and works together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the first album. You know, available at shows, right? You can get it there.
Yeah,
is that available
for
on
sale shows?
Absolutely.
Where's anywhere online they can find it?
We can, we have it online at thespaceshipband.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
So for sale, the first one is available on Bandcamp, and the second one will probably be released on some other places, like iTunes.
Yeah.
CD Baby, so forth.
Yeah, iTunes, I mean, it's kind of a thing now, like, where you kind of have to have it on all the platforms. I mean, like, everybody wants it on their, what, you know, whatever they like. I mean, Bandcamp's a great site. You know, I like that play, you know, I like it a lot. I like the way it's laid out. I like that you can listen to it, and then they also give you options with some things where you can pay what you want, or, you know, sometimes they have some things for free, and then other times you can purchase the MP3s or the physical copies. All a lot of different options they offer you there. So yeah. I think that's neat. And I don't know. I've never put anything up there for sale or anything, so I don't know. But I've heard that I think they pay a little bit more than iTunes does too. So some people will suggest going to Bandcamp, to buy it off of Bandcamp, because they get a little bit more. A couple pennies more, I guess, whenever you buy a record or something on there. Again, like, iTunes is everywhere. People got it on their phones and everything now, and it's like, you know, it's just, and then you got, you know, Spotify and all these other things.
Yeah.
I mean, people,
that's actually something that we're going to probably be looking into doing with our new album, is getting it on Spotify and, you know, maybe some of the other internet radio, like Pandora or something like that, so we can, you know, it's best to hit it from all angles nowadays and link up all those, you know, social media, so we can, you know, really start building some momentum on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think talking to some people, too, I think Pandora, though, is, like, could be a little tricky sometimes to get into. Like, it's more of, like, a screening process of some sort. Like, some people have tried a couple times, and like eventually they'll get in, but it's like there's somebody that actually like listens and says yay or nay on these records or something. So I don't know. It's you have to be like it has to, you know, I guess, like, you can't just have some kind of like whatever, you know, amateur.
They're actually gonna listen to it.
Well, I don't know how it all works, but
yeah,
but there's something like that. Like, it has to be, you know, professional quality stuff, and like, has to be, you have to have actual like the whatever the UPC codes on your album.
Certain
and all stuff. Yeah, it has to go through all these little you know, check marks and stuff.
Yeah.
And so yeah, if you don't have all that, then they're just like, no, not at this time. And so
that's cool. I mean, I'm a Spotify user myself, so
yeah.
I don't really have Pandora, but
I did go look on Spotify before. I found them on the Reverb Nation page, but
yeah,
I looked on there to see if it was on there or not. And there was another spaceship that. So I was wondering if do you guys ever have any issues with the name? Like, is that or spaceships or something? You know, like this.
Yeah. There is one band that was Spaceship, but I don't think it's together anymore. I'm not sure. I think it was based out of Texas or something like that, I want to say. But
I think they're based out of California. And
okay.
I mean, their last active thing that they did was like
2009 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's really.
They might come back though.
Yeah, they might. Who knows?
Yeah, but we do have a Reverb Nation page though.
There is a lot to the name though, man. Like even naming the show and stuff. Like we did a lot of Google searching, making sure there wasn't something kind of similar or whatever. And it's like, it's hard to come up with, you know, a good name that's original, that nobody else has got, you know, copyright or whatever.
A lot of people got a lot of names out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hell, like, you think of, like, also, like, all the, a lot of good, like, you know, one word, you know, all the, whatever, like, The Who, The Beatles, the, you know, like, all these one-word names like that and stuff. There's so many that were already taken and stuff. It's hard to come up with some stuff, but... But yeah, I mean, I think Spaceship's a cool name. Hopefully you guys get out there, not like somebody else can't say something about it or whatever. But I think it'd be it'd be cool.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, maybe, you know, who knows? You know, there might be another spaceship out
I think, like,
there is a pretty common name when you do think about it. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if there's other bands out there that have it. But,
I think it was Mesh in St. Louis here, and then, and they got, it was
Mesh
another,
STL.
Yeah, and then they went to Mesh STL, so I guess that's always an option.
I saw them at Point Fest, and that must have been, like, the first concert I ever went to. And it was, like, Point Fest 11, I think. It was, like, back in... I want to say 99 probably, and you know, I was probably like 16 years old, and it was, they opened that thing up actually, and like it was insane. There was a big like mosh pit that I got stuck in the middle of, and you know, got nailed and like flew like 10 feet, and then everybody rushed the stage, and Mesh STL.
Mesh.
What were you guys' first concerts?
Oh man, I don't even remember mine really. I was a little kid. My parents used to take me to Mississippi Nights?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I do remember it was, he was a blues guitarist from here. Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the first. That's one of the earliest ones I remember.
Yeah, man, Kenny's a bad dude. I saw him not too long ago and still sounds great.
He's definitely.
What about you, Ryan?
Better.
You got a first concert memory, remember?
First concert that I went to... let's see. Was there a first one? Or was there just a continuation? I think the first like big concert I went to, I saw when I was 16, I think, the first big one, I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I remember.
Yeah.
That was a really good show.
Yeah.
We call it the Scott Trade Center.
It's a pretty good start.
And with, Gnarls Barkley.
That's what I saw, too, at Point Fest, was the Chili Peppers were the headliners.
Yeah.
Nice.
That reminds me, too. Cool. I saw that drummer Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers at a drum clinic one time, and man, that dude was dropping the F-bomb every other word just about, and there was a bunch of kids in the crowd, and it was like... You know, he's a total rock star, whatever he can do, I guess, but he's a pretty good drummer, though. You know?
He's a big influence.
He's a funky dude, you know?
He is funky, man.
You ever catch that thing they did on Fallon with him and Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I mean, they look so much alike. I remember when they actually brought it up, somebody was like, you know, they really just look like each other. We're going to have to do something now. You know, it's just going to have to happen. You know, so then they decided, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a drum off. But you could tell, like, you know, when it first started, it was really Will Ferrell playing the drums. And then as soon as it got complicated, it went to their studio player who was doing it. And then it just chopped Will Ferrell's head off, and he was just air drumming to it. But,
sure.
You know, it was still pretty good, though, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. It was... What made that whole bit, though, was that they went to the couch, and they were dressed in the same clothes, and they're sitting there, and they were, like, kept looking at each other, like, you know, the, and stuff. It was just, like, that awkward thing, like, you know, they do look a lot alike, but, yeah, it was funny, man. My first concert experience that I remember picking a show, I'm sure my parents took me to something before.
Yeah,
but the one that comes to mind, and I've mentioned on here before, but it's I got to I picked to go see Matchbox 20 at Scott Trade with Semisonic and Soul Asylum in like 97 or something like that. So yeah, that was my first like the show I picked to go to. So it was a good one. It was fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I was huge on Matchbox 20 around that time when that first record came out and all that stuff. But I still like this stuff. I mean, obviously, I still sing those songs. But yeah, I mean, it's no Chili Peppers though.
Nah, man.
So what gets you guys into playing jazz and stuff? Like you were saying you Steve picked it up in like your 20s or whatever. But what about from the rest of you guys? Where does that jazz influence come from?
I think it subconsciously came from my parents. Just naming me first off. I mean, my name was Jacob Adam Zingerling, so it's jazz right there. I think they kind of planted the seed with that. But ever since I was a little kid, I used to be on a swinger between two speakers, just jazz and blues, like all day. As my dad was just always be playing it. So I've always had like a love for it, just hearing the melodies ever since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to school and kind of studying theory a little bit more kind of drove me into it further, just understanding harmonies and such, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, man, just playing, started playing jazz in high school, I remember, playing in jazz band, and I think those were my first real concerts, really, was when I was, like, a junior in high school, first doing jazz band, and going and doing a clinic with the Umsel Jazz Band with the Jim Wagner Band, and you know, even before I saw the Chili Peppers, like what I'm talking about, I see the Umsel Jazz Band and some really good big band. I'm a music. I'm on some Ellington charts that they were doing. So it's pretty influential for sure.
Yeah.
It's like seeing that, like hearing like a big band like trumpet squeal for the first time whenever you're that young, you're like, whoa, it's like wakes you up.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I didn't really know what jazz was to a degree. I think you kind of have to get into it a little bit and then kind of figure out what it's all about. And a lot of people, they say that's jazz. Like, well, you can tell they don't really know what jazz is because they kind of just say it's jazz, but they don't really know what jazz is. So in some ways it's kind of like something that you learn over time that you have to just pick up on just like anything else. But of course I was in jazz band in high school too, but mine was more like a 70s rock band instead of a jazz band. But
yeah.
You know, it was like a pet band sort of, but it was cool, you know. But being a drummer, you know, like a lot of times drums are kind of more relegated to a rhythmic role, and you know, I always kind of had more of a musical sense about myself, and playing jazz kind of gives you more of a freedom, especially in terms of playing drums, that you don't always have in some other genres. You know, you don't always have to play a repetitive beat the entire time, and you know, I always knew that I had that kind of musical mentality, you know, to kind of mix it up and to kind of be able to express myself a little bit more than having to play a structured repetitive rhythm the entire time, which, you know, that's exactly what jazz is. It's all about self-expression and improvisation, so
yeah,
that's what's great about it.
Yeah, very cool. I guess we'll look to close this thing out, guys. Appreciate you taking some time and hanging out with me, and it's been cool getting to know you guys a little better.
Yeah,
I'd like to be here in the 200th episode.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's a landmark for sure.
For sure. That's the
that's the side of the south. Close encounters of the third kind.
Aliens have landed.
What a.
You just might hear that at our next gig, but you'll have to go and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anybody's ever seen that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it's a really cool concept of the movie where they take that melody that Ryan's playing over there right now, the basic gist of it, and it relics throughout the whole movie, but basically it was our key to communicating with aliens. So we try and incorporate that into the show too. It's kind of like a little bit symbolic, you know, like summoning the mothership kind of feeling.
Yeah.
To it, so.
That was a bluesy mothership.
Yeah.
I didn't know your mothership played the blues. That International Blues Museum just opened too.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I don't know if we'll get a gig there. I mean, we played at BB's, but that's jazz.
That'd be cool.
Suits, but I think the blues museum is a little more hardcore blues, but we might try.
You don't know it.
Some counters.
We can put some songs on here from because what you said, you got some stuff from the new record you want to give them a taste of.
Yeah, man, we'd like to share some stuff from the new album that we'll be releasing sometime this summer. So more to be announced. You can check out our stuff on Facebook. You can check it out on Bandcamp.
We also have our own YouTube channel.
We have a bunch of video footage on there, so a lot of ways to check us out. And our next show is next week, April
15th.
Eighth is at Evangeline's. Is the next one?
This will probably be airing after that.
So nice. April 15th. We got April 15th coming up at America's Tavern.
Yeah.
Spaceship with Brother Francis in the Soul Tone.
For sure.
It's going to be a good time.
And then April 16th at the Dark Room.
Our debut at the Dark Room.
Yeah.
Free show. Come on out. Drink some wine. Eat some fine cheeses.
Yeah.
And enjoy some wonderful music for free down in a wonderful Grand Center.
What songs did you guys want to play?
We're going to feature one off of the album. Which one? I hadn't really thought of it.
Traveling,
I
think maybe?
We're gonna share one. You want one of the long ones or one of the short ones?
Hey, whatever. This is your show, guys. Whatever you want to do.
All right, cool.
I mean, it is your 200th show, though, too.
Yeah, wow. You do have a say in this.
People have heard enough of my shit, though.
So. All right, man. Well, we could share a tune called Mandalaxy. We're going to share another one we got on there that you'll hear is called Beyond Impossible.
Yeah.
And be sure to hear those off of our second album to be debuted.
Yeah, coming soon.
This summer.
Yeah. And go grab the, what's the name of the first record?
Telewarp.
Pick up a copy of Telewarp on the Bandcamp page and listen to that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and then follow them on Facebook, keep up to date on there. You guys do a lot of the events and all that stuff, so you can see where they're going to be at, coming to town near you. You guys play all over St. Louis area here, so
we're looking to hopefully get our next step is to get some better audio and video, and then we're looking to book some tours, if not this year but next year.
Yeah,
definitely spread the ship
for sure
outside of St. Louis.
Yeah. All right, guys, well, thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.